Good morning, friends. We are so happy to be coming your way with a short gospel message. Please give me your attention for the next few moments and consider what I say and the Lord give you understanding. We really need the understanding of the Spirit as the second coming of Christ is greatly misunderstood by so many. At the very beginning, let me state plainly that I do not enter into this subject to create confusion, but rather to clear it up. Also, be it understood that the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. It cannot be literally interpreted. Therefore, we must understand the symbolic language in order to properly align these truths with the others taught in the Bible, both in prophecy and in the Gospels. Now, let us go directly to the subject at hand concerning the second coming of Christ. How is he coming? Just as he went away in the clouds of heaven. While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1:9-11. When will it be? This is something no one upon earth knows. The time is set, but I do not know when it is, neither does anyone else. Listen to Acts 17:31. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. To appoint means to fix, settle, or determine. Yes, the very day is already set. Jesus said, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:36. However, there are a number of signs, very definite ones, and he said, When ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the door. Mark 13:29. While there is danger of attempting to set the date of his coming, there is also another danger. That is, the danger of merely ignoring the signs of the times, which tells us of the conditions of the age and coming of Christ. Paul said, Ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. So, of course, to those who are not watching and are not ready, he will come as a thief. But to those who are prepared, it will be a happy event when he comes again. He will be welcomed by his saints to enjoy the greatest reception of all ages, the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the clouds of glory. At this point, let me state very emphatically that nowhere in the Scriptures, not once, is this second coming of Christ referred to as the rapture. I understand the term, but I just want to say it is not a scriptural term. If you know where the rapture is mentioned in the Bible, please let me know, for I have failed to find it. Now, what will happen when Christ comes? It is a very sad condition today that Christendom is divided over this question. In our day, there is a multiplicity of beliefs, a great variety of opinions in every rank and file of religion. However, there is a fundamental doctrine that harmonizes with the Scriptures, and we should know what that is. Men teach theories because their denominational leaders teach those theories. They tend to follow one another, and sad to say, this is often in the wrong direction. I say, let each study for themselves and search the Scriptures. One of the major things that will take place at the coming of Christ is the universal resurrection of the dead. John says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is a book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 20, 11, 15. How could this be true unless all the dead were raised at Christ's coming? Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." 1 Corinthians 15:51. This scripture also answers the question as to whether it will be literal or spiritual, and whether it will be secret or for everyone to know. How could there be a secret rapture with the trumpet of God blasting out for the resurrection of the dead? If it was a secret affair, then certainly there should be no trumpet blasting out for the dead to come forth. He most certainly is referring here to the resurrection of the righteous. This teaches that both classes of people will be raised at the same time. So, there will not be a resurrection for the righteous and another one for the unrighteous. All will share the same resurrection and face the same judgment following it. Listen to the words of Jesus. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." John 5:28. There will be but one literal resurrection. The hour certainly cannot signify more than a short period of time. In referring to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians again, verses 15-17, simply teach that the righteous who are living on the earth at the time Christ appears will not ascend to heaven before the righteous dead are resurrected. But the dead will rise first, then they will all be caught up together at one and the same time. The wicked are not mentioned in this connection, for Paul was writing this only for the comfort and the edification of the church. In the following chapter, however, their sudden destruction at the second coming of Christ is mentioned as a warning to the church. Will he set up his kingdom then? That is an important question. Will he, or is it already set up? I say Christ established his kingdom at his first coming. Listen to the prophecy of Daniel. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Daniel 2:44. What kings is he speaking of? The kingdoms mentioned in this vision refer to the Babylonian, the Grecian, the Medo-Persian, and the Roman. Jesus set up his kingdom at his first coming during the Roman reign. Here are the words of Jesus. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. John 18:36-37. From these scriptures, we see clearly that Christ has a kingdom and does not need an earthly throne from which to reign, for he ruleth over all. In response as to whether there will be a millennium in the future, I can see none in the scriptures. There is neither time, place, or need of such, and surely there is no time on this earth for it after the coming of the Lord, because the earth is going to be burned up. Listen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10. However, it does speak of a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But more on the millennium theory another time. Be sure to keep listening. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of bringing forth thy word through the scriptures to the listening audience of the broadcast. We ask that you would cause the word to generate a real interest in the doctrines of the Bible, in the truths of your coming, and how that Christ is going to come to catch away the righteous, to judge the wicked, to bring the world into judgment for all their ungodly deeds which they have done. We pray that thou wilt undertake and work upon every heart to the good of every listener, and for that which is accomplished, we'll surely give you the praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, friend, for a few moments of your time. If we've been a help to you, we trust that you will let us know. We'd be happy to hear from you. Address your letter to the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And don't take just what I say only for the scriptures, but take your Bible. Read it. Search it. It isn't something that is so concealed but what you can understand. Of course, as I say, the Revelation is a book of symbolic language, and you'll need to know what it's referring to there in regard to these symbols to properly understand it. And we trust that you will take the plain scriptures taught in the Gospels and the prophecies and look into them. And surely may the Lord bless and reveal to you that truth which you need. Because we need to know these things. The end is coming when many will not be prepared for it. So may the Lord bless and keep you. And now, until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.